Well, one of the things that we've been talking about is calling those things which be not as though they were. And one theme that we've been sharing is what is it that you're expecting this year? Well, you may not be living in it, but in order to possess it, you've got to believe and believe that God desires for you to prosper and be in health. So this year is my best year ever. It's the best year I've ever lived. And as I was sharing on Sunday, it may not look like that. It may look like this is the worst year you've ever lived, and you're walking through some things that are very difficult. But in order to possess something better, you know, just in the natural, when individuals make a decision, you know, they make a quality decision that they're going to achieve something. What is it? They make changes in their life. Where did it start? It started in their heart, their thinking, and they said, I'm going to pursue something. I'm going to better myself in this area or in an area in life. And they do what? They make changes. They go after something. And that's no different spiritually when we begin to decide, I want more of God. I want more of His Word. I want more of Him thinking in and through me. Then I need to do what? Romans 12:2, which is be not what? Conformed to this world. What does that mean? I'm not going to think negative. I'm not going to talk negative. I'm going to trust God and believe God to renew my mind. What does that mean? I'm going to feed more upon God's word. I'm going to pray more in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Spirit. And I'm going to begin to decree that God is renewing my mind. So that what? So that I can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it starts with a decision on our part to make to want more of God and to decide that I'm going to pursue those things. Now, they don't happen overnight. You know, sometimes, you know, in parallel, spiritual growth is a lot like natural growth. It may not be this, it's not the same, but it's a lot like natural growth in that you didn't go from a youngster to an adult overnight. There was a growth process. And the same thing happens with spiritual things. There is a growth process, but you cannot expect to go from a baby in as a Christian, a baby Christian, to a mature Christian without feeding upon the Word of God, without professing, making a confession of faith that I'm going to achieve these things. You need to begin to say with your mouth that I'm going to achieve these things, and you hold on to it until you what? You see the demonstration of that, or you begin to see the fruit of that. So we need to, as I've decreed, that this is the best year that you've ever lived, the best year physically, the best year financially, the best year spiritually. This is the best year I've ever lived. And you begin to act accordingly, that you're going to pursue those things to achieve that. Amen. So as the scripture, you know, we want to speak those things that God has promised us in His Word. And as the scripture says in Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto him void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So when we begin to speak God's words, then as it says in Jeremiah 1:12, it says, the Lord said to me, meaning Jeremiah, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that, this is the NIV, he's watching to see that my word is fulfilled. So when we begin to speak God's word and we profess it, God watches over his word to make sure that it's fulfilled. So my profession is in line with his word. So I'm confessing and pronouncing that, you know, again, we may say it in a way that this is the best year that I've ever lived. This is the best year I have financially and spiritually and health-wise. Well, it's 3 John 2. It's like he wishes above all things that we what? Prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. So those scriptures are a support to our profession. God watches over his word to perform it. You know, I've shared, you know, years ago that, you know, when I would go to meetings, Kenneth Copeland meetings back in the early 80s, and I would see Charles Capps professing a profession of faith, that he had made a decision that when he saw in the Word of God that himself took his infirmities and bore his sicknesses, and he began to see the redemptive promises of God in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, where he took our infirmities and bore our pains, that who his own self bore my sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we have been healed, 1 Peter 2:24. When he began to see that revelation, and he said, you know, he liked to hunt. He would go into the woods, and he would inevitably, he would get poison ivy. So he said, well, I would do what I knew needed to do. I would get some calamine lotion, put it on, you know, that rash. But at the same time, he was making a profession of faith that God was working in his body. I am healed of poison ivy. Every time that poison ivy touches my body, it dies instantly. And the healing power of God is working in me. And every tissue and every organ of my body functions normally. And he said it took about 6 months of professing the word of God and continuing to use calamine lotion when he would get a poison ivy rash. But he said it got to the place of not just believing the word of God, but applying the word of God. How? With a profession of faith, confessing what he believed. He said he could go into the woods and grab poison ivy on the vine and just strip it down off the vine. He wasn't trying to test God. He believed that it wouldn't bother him. And he said it didn't. He said he'd just strip the leaves off. He wouldn't even get poison ivy. So what are we really saying? It's really what we see in James chapter 2 in verse 14 when it talks about faith without works. So James chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" And we know what the answer is, no. When that says have not works, it means have not a corresponding action. So even when you go over to verse 26 in that same chapter, it says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works or a corresponding action is dead also." So there has to be an action to your belief. There has to be a corresponding action to what you believe. And what is it that we believe? We believe, you know, as Christians, we profess, and we're going to read from Romans 10, verses 8 through 11, but what is it that we believe? We believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Lord. We believe that, and we do what? We profess that. We confess that with our mouth. And as it highlights in Romans chapter 10, it says, "But what saith it," in verse 8, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. So there has to be agreement. What's in your heart is coming out of your mouth. That is what? The word of faith, which we preach in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So we see from the scriptures here that you cannot possess salvation without a confession of your faith. There has to be an action to what you believe. What's the action to what you believe? I speak, I profess that I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that God raised him from the dead. And it says, when you believe in your heart and, or it says in the scripture, you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ and that God raised him from the dead, it said, you'll be saved. And so that is the method, I guess you could say, that God has put in place, the process that God has put in place, that we are made in the image and likeness of God. God spoke things into existence, and he's made us in his image and likeness. God is a spirit, John 4:24. And so we are made in his image and likeness. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in this body. And God has designed it so that we must speak those things that we believe. Otherwise, just believing, it says, just believing is dead without a corresponding action, without works. So we must speak what we believe. And so, because we are made in the image and likeness of God, that the words that we speak are spiritual, they are creative. And so as we speak things, then things that we desire shall come into manifestation or into being. So that's why you will never possess something without confession. And so what are we saying? In other words, if you want to have a great year this year, if you want to be prosperous, if you want to, have the best year that you've ever lived, then you need to say that. You need to profess that. You know, I'm thinking as we're sharing here, you know, years ago, this is probably, 30 years ago when I was younger. Still feel young, but when I was younger, I remember the Lord speaking to me in a time where I used the term, got over into the spirit of things, the spirit, and I began to laugh supernaturally. I didn't start there, but I was over laughing and was supernaturally laughing, and the Holy Ghost began to speak to me about something. And I was laughing, you know, to be more specific, I was laughing at some symptoms in my body. I had a very high temperature, and I was home. I took the day off, and I just began to laugh at the symptoms. I just started to laugh, and it stirred some things up in me, and I began to laugh in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, not about my symptoms, but about another symptom in my life, which was I wasn't seeing the fruit of my sowing or my giving, my finances. And it had been in my thoughts. How come I'm not seeing that? I never voiced it, you know, to God, how come? But I was thinking it, and he knew it. And this is what he said to me. He said, if you will work the word like you're working the word in the area of healing or your health, he said, you won't have room enough to contain it all. And I knew exactly what he meant, because I had made a decision when I first got saved and I began to see in the Word of God the redemptive promise concerning healing. I made that my personal confession. I took hold of it and I began to speak with my mouth that I am healed, I am whole, I am healthy. Every cell of my body functions normally in the name of Jesus. And I forbid any malfunction in my body in Jesus' name. So I began to say that, and I say it every day, say it every day, say it every day. It became a habit. It's what I believed and what I professed. But I wasn't doing that where my giving was concerned. I wasn't expecting a return. You know, you believe it, you hope it, but are you expecting to see a return on your seed sown? So that was just an area in my life where I needed some revelation. I needed some light in that area, and I needed some help so that I could do what? Expect something. And so when I saw that, I made the adjustment. Revelation came. And so I began to speak, and I began to confess just the same way I was confessing my health and healing in my body. And over a short period of time, my finances began to change, the growth in that area. So what I was sowing, I began to do what? I began to see a harvest in my life of things sown. So just because we're bringing our seed into the storehouse, we've got to profess what we believe. Things what? Not seen. So I when I sow my seed, a farmer, just think about that in the natural. Does a farmer go and spend thousands and thousands of dollars for seed and go, boy, I sure hope we get a crop. I don't know. We may not. I sure hope so. Or not even prepare for the harvest. That would be foolish. But a farmer, just from the natural standpoint, is convinced that this seed, if it's placed in the ground in the right conditions, it's going to sprout up and produce. So they begin to, just based on their faith in the seed and what it can do, they begin to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to prepare for a harvest. And so I'm really sharing the same thing, that are we convinced? Because this is faith. Faith is the substance. Faith is being confident that what we, it's the confidence of things what? Not seen, but it's also, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Let's look at that in Hebrews 11:1 in the King James, and then let's look at it at a few other different translations. But faith is having confidence in things that God has promised from His Word. And when I have confidence in His Word, then I can expect something to come to pass. So it's not just me saying, well, yeah, I read God's Word, but it's actually seeing, having revelation. Faith comes from the revealed Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, but it's actually faith. Really is faith comes from the revealed Word of God. So when we see something in the Word of God, faith is there. We have confidence. It's not just head knowledge, it's heart knowing. So Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. What's the evidence? My faith is the evidence of things not seen. And the Passion Translation, it says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation. This is the point here we're making. Faith becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. So when we say, you know, when I was teaching some lessons, some revelation God had given me about no evidence, then the only evidence that we need for something we profess and we say, there, I decree there's no evidence of lack in my life. I decree there is no evidence of sickness in my life. Well, that's what? Unseen. So you may have, in the natural, lack of finances. You may have sickness in your body, but that's seen. This is saying the only evidence needed is what? It required to prove is our faith for things what? Unseen. And I like this. This is in the authentic translation of Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith forms a solid ground for our expectations, the proof of unseen actualities. So what forms the support, the solid ground on which our expectations rest? It's faith, being confident of God's word. You know, I have confidence. You know, if I brought a chair over here and I sat down, I have confidence in that chair to support me because of this concrete floor here. So I have confidence that I can stand here or sit in this chair because of what? The ground underneath to support it. So what is the support? What is the foundation? It's God's word. So faith comes where the will of God is known. So we have confidence that those things that God has promised, then we can have hope or expectation of fulfillment of that. Hallelujah. So one of the things that we were sharing on Sunday is about the word expectation. So we're just adding to Hebrews 11:1, it says, the proportion of your faith, or you could say the measure of your faith, will be exhibited in the measure or proportion of your expectation. Let's say it another way. The proportion or measure of your faith will be seen or exhibited or demonstrated by the measure or degree of your expectation. So what are we saying? Little expectation, little faith. You can't have great faith and little expectation. So the measure or the proportion of your faith will be exhibited with the measure or proportion of your expectation. So when I am convinced of something, then I express it, I speak it, and the measure of that conviction is expressed in the measure of my expectation, what I expect, you see. And that's why when we were sharing on Sunday, why a lot of times people don't give to the degree that they give, whether it's their time, their money, is because they're not expecting much. But if you were convinced, and just think about 2 Corinthians chapter 9, when it says God gives seed to the sower, and he does what? Bread for food, and he multiplies my seed sown and increases the fruits of my righteousness. Now, if you went to a financial investor and you had faith in that financial investor and he said, I can multiply your money, you know, we'd have a stampede of people taking their money and putting it into that investment. Because why? They trust that. They've seen some, you know, some results from that investment company or firm or person. And you what? You're now expecting multiplication or a big return. Well, how much more should we be convinced of God's word? Well, that confidence comes through revelation. So when we see something in the Word of God, when God reveals something to you in His Word, and your confidence is there, then you do what? You begin to sow of your time and your money and your efforts, because what? You're convinced that God is going to do what? Multiply your seed sown. And I'm not looking for putting him on a time schedule saying, well, I expect it to be here. God said he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing we can hardly contain, and he will rebuke the devourer for my sake. So just the same way we've had people speak over this ministry and say, every good seed that this ministry has planted shall come up. I'm expecting it. Hallelujah. So if we are in faith or acting in faith, you are expecting something. This is what we're saying in James chapter 2 and 14. If you are in faith or you're acting in faith, then you're doing what? There's a corresponding action. You're expecting something to happen. Faith without an action does not expect. It doesn't expect something. If you're not expecting something, then you are just mentally agreeing with God's word. Oh, that's nice, but you're not expecting something. You're not professing. That which you expect, you profess. I'll guarantee you, if you get a big bonus at work, you've already got plans on how you're going to spend it. And most times, people have already talking about it before they have it. They've already said, boy, praise God, look what God has blessed me with. We're going here, we're doing this, we're going to spend it on this. So you're already making some professions of what you're going to do with that money. So there's a profession, there's an expectation on your part. So the heart and mouth in agreement control your destiny or direction in life. In other words, the heart and mouth in agreement are expecting something. This is what we just got done reading with Romans 10, 9, and 10. When somebody has preached the gospel, they do what? They confess with their mouth and believe in their heart. The heart and mouth are in agreement, and they're expecting what? Salvation. Hallelujah. And also that word salvation is sozo, which means it's not just salvation, but it's deliverance, it's healing, it's wholeness. Glory to God. So if you're not expecting anything to come in, then your measure of faith is not there. So you've got to expect. You've got to profess something in order for there to be possession. You know, something Mark Hankin shares, I like this, you know, he talks a lot about, you know, faith and, you know, your position in Christ. But he said something, the Holy Spirit spoke to him this way. He said, your celebration is a demonstration of your expectation. I like that. So your celebration, your praise is a demonstration of your expectation. So when we're praising God, we're thanking God for something that I've believed him for. So my celebration is what? A demonstration of what I expect, or my expectation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's take a look. There's so much we could touch on, but let's take a quick look at Romans chapter 12. I wanted to touch on this Sunday, but Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, it's insightful verse of scripture here. Romans chapter 12, you know, we focus a lot on verse 1, in verse 2. And that's not the verse. I'm sorry, verse 5 and 6. It's actually verse 6. But we'll read 5 and 6. That's correct. Romans chapter 12 and verses 5 and 6. It says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." Now, verse 6, it says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy," now look at what it says, "let us prophesy according to" what? "The proportion of faith." So here, you are going to prophesy according to the proportion of your faith. So you've got to, this is why, to me, it's so important, you know, as we kind of wrap up these thoughts here. Let me just turn over to this scripture here in John. I believe it's chapter 14. Let me just look at this here. And he shares that we know him, and I'm just reading down here to the verse I want. Verse 17. Actually, let's look at verse 16 and 17. In chapter 14, verses 16 and 17 of the Gospel of John. And it says, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Now that means when we leave this earth, we don't lose the Holy Ghost. He said here, he's going to abide with you forever. Now verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it" what? "Seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And then it goes on, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." But we need to profess that I see him, I know him, I hear him. And you may not, but how are you going to possess that? How are you going to possess that sensitivity? You've got to begin to say, even when you don't feel him, so to speak, when I say feel, you don't feel his presence, you don't sense his presence, you need to say, "Thank you, Holy Spirit, I know you. You're more real to me than this podium right here. You're more real to me than this ceiling and this floor. I know you. You speak to me. You reveal things to me." And you need to profess that. Why? Because Jesus said, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." So he's saying, Jesus is saying, we know him. So to say that we don't know him is to call Jesus a liar. So just because you can't feel something, just because you don't have some sense, is not to call the Word of God and Jesus a liar. We need to profess, "I do see him. I do know him. He does speak to me." And so that being the case, we need to, as it says here, "let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith." We need to profess that if you have an unction to prophesy, prophesy according to the measure of your faith. Glory to God. So we need to stay connected to the vine, and stay connected to Him and believe and trust God for the fulfillment of those things promised in the Word, that my expectation is a measure or proportion of the faith that I have, that I keep feeding upon the Word of God, and I do what? I keep professing what I believe, what I'm expecting. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to just share a couple of scriptures here as we end. Proverbs 4:23 in the King James, and then I'll just read the other translations. But Proverbs 4:23, talking about us attending to His words and inclining our ear unto His sayings, says, "Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence," where? Your heart, "for out of it are the issues of life." So this is talking about we set boundaries. That word "issues" is boundaries or extremities. I like some of these other translations. The New Living, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do." It determines the course of your life. And some other translations, the Complete Jewish Bible, it says, "Above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences." So what is that saying? That's saying, really, that we have tongue troubles, not other kind of trouble. It's tongue troubles, which is what? The source of that tongue trouble is from your heart. You start speaking things. That's why it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it you set boundaries, you set circumstances, you determine things, which is what? Proverbs 18, 20, and 21, death and life is in the what? The power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So what are we really trying to drive home tonight is that you're going to possess things in life by confession, confession of God's word. He will watch over His word to perform it. You know, it's the constant, as we were sharing on Sunday, the constant repetition of God's word where we will see fruitfulness. We will see a corresponding action to something I believe. I'm professing what I believe. And so just the same way in Joshua 1:8, when it talks about here, this book of the law shall what? Not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. What does that mean? That's a corresponding action. You need to profess what you're meditating upon. Then thou make thy way prosperous. Now, I just want to close because I wanted to share this again today. Hebrews 10:23. And the King James Version says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is..." "He is faithful that promised." So this word hold fast means to have firm or keep a firm possession of something. And this word profession is the same word, Greek word, homologia, which means to say the same thing as, or confession. So when we say that we are going to hold fast the confession of our faith, this word faith actually is the same word. It's not the Greek word pistis, but it's the same word for hope or expectation. So this is really saying, let us hold fast or tightly or firmly the confession of what we expect. So this is something where we, you know, brought out, and go back and listen to Sunday's message, where we brought out the great expectation of the centurion. And he professed that. He said, Jesus, you don't need to come into my home. I'm not worthy that you should come. Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And the woman with the issue of blood. Great expectation. And they kept saying what their expectation was, what they believed. So, again, as we close, go back and feed upon these messages and begin, I like what Brother Hagin said, set your expectations high. And he said, I'd rather get the half of them than set them to nothing and get all of them. So we need to reach out and stretch. God is wanting us to increase and possess some things that have been purchased for our redemption, or with our redemption, with the blood of Jesus. And we need to take hold of those things and reach out and stretch to a place where you know there's no way you could reach that in the natural with your own ability. Oh, only God could get me there. And you begin to do what? Profess that I have this. I'm going to achieve this. I'm going to take this. And this is what God is wanting the body of Christ to do, to take hold of some things that he's purchased for us. Praise the Lord. So I hope you've gotten a little something out of this evening. The more we meditate upon it, the more we feed upon it, it becomes real in us. It's watering, as I say. It's watering of the seed that's been planted in our hearts. So, Father, we thank you this evening. Thank you for the word that's been sown into our hearts. Thank you for the watering of the seed. And we expect a great, mighty harvest of that which has been sown in our hearts. And we thank you, Father, for great things that will be accomplished this year. Great exploits, great things that we're achieving spiritually for the kingdom of God. And we thank you for it and believe for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we unhook, let's never unhook or close the service without giving someone an opportunity to ask Jesus to come into their heart. You may be watching this evening, and you never did that. You believed that Jesus is the Christ, but you never knew that you needed to make a profession of your faith, what you believe. And God is required that, according to the scripture, that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. So let's make that simple profession of faith. And if you've never done that, or you have done it and you got away from God and maybe you need to rededicate and commit your life, then let's say this profession of faith. Father God, I believe and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Lord. And I also believe and confess that you raised him from the dead. And so I thank you and ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. And I will serve you all the days of my life. Make something new of me. And I decree and pronounce that I am saved. Now, if you said that simple prayer, that simple profession of faith of what you believe, then you are saved. and you are a brand new creature in Christ. You may look the same outside, but on the inside, supernaturally, something happened. You were changed. That old spirit was changed and made brand new. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So reach out to us. Let us know if you've accepted Christ, you asked him to come into your heart. You can either email us or mail us or phone us and let us know that you accepted Jesus watching the broadcast, and let us know and we'll send you some material as to who you've become in Christ. Praise God.